It is for this reason that we are aspiring. Aspiration is nothing but an urge to break the veil and to uncover what is inside. Therefore, it comes out what is inside whenever there is the thinning down of our veil, whenever that urge to manifest what is inside moves out, manifests. Particularly when we are in a great difficulty, when you don't find any means of solution, this urge manifests very powerfully. We want to break down the obstruction. And this is what Sri Aurobindo says now. In that case, the unconquerable impulse of man towards God, light, bliss, freedom, immortality, presents itself in its right place in the chain as simply the imperative impulse by which nature is seeking to evolve beyond mind. And this impulse appears to be as natural, true, and just as the impulse towards life which she has planted in certain forms of matter, or the impulse towards life, towards mind, which she has planted in certain forms of life. According to the theory of evolution, everything in the world is striving. This is the discovery of the theory of evolution. Everything in the world is striving. Theory of evolution is not entirely new. In the Veda, the theory of evolution is underlined. In the Upanishad, the theory of evolution is underlined. In the Sankhya, the theory of evolution was underlined. In Vedanta, the theory of evolution is underlined. In the West, also the theory of evolution was known. Anaximander was one of the early Greek philosophers. Anaximander. He was even before Socrates. And he spoke of evolution. But it is only in recent times, in the 19th century, when Darwin worked very heavily, studiously, in detail, and he put forward the theory that all world is a gradual movement of evolutionary force. There is a striving in everything. He even given the name struggle for existence. He said everything in the world is struggling. It's a struggle for existence. Take for example a small little worm with very few senses excepting touch. There are some worms which have no other senses excepting touch. It moves and crawls only when it touches an obstruction, it finds, oh, there is something here, and then turns away. According to theory of evolution, the worm feels as it were an urge to develop a capacity by which it can aid to the need of touch. There is a feeling that why should I be able to find out there is an obstruction only when I come near it and touch it? Is it not possible to have communication of the obstruction from far, even when I don't touch it as yet? This is an urge, as it were. Not that worm knows this question and puts this question. It's a blind feeling, an urge. And then gradually goes on making an effort, tremendous effort, until by sharpening the organs, the eye is born. What we call the eyes. If you look at the evolutionary movement, eye is not first of all to be found among many, many creatures, many, many lower worms and insects and so on. There is no eye. Gradually, a remarkable thing like an eye is produced. It's not an ordinary thing. If you examine how the eye is formed, it's a miracle. You can't ordinarily explain. If you go to any medical man, there is Alexis Carroll, who wrote a book, Man the Unknown. It's a very interesting book, Man the Unknown, the man who is not known. Although we think we know man very well because we ourselves are human beings. But he points out how much we are ignorant of ourselves. And one of the things he remarks is, you do not know what eye is. What a miracle the eye is. How the eye is formed. Out of the physical sense, physicality, the lens is formed. Imagine. That it is purely material, pure matter, the coarse matter, is rubbed to such an extent, their lens is produced, connected with the retina. Now, connection of retina and the lens, and the capacity of lens to capture light and image, and then comprehension of the image, all is a miracle. Unless there is a consciousness behind, you can't imagine this birth of an eye. And similarly of all the senses actually, every sense is a miracle. This struggle is for what? It's a striving. According to Darwin, struggle is to survive. We may agree or not agree with this theory as a whole, but it's a fact that there is a struggle, of that there is no question. And that one of the aspects of struggle is certainly a struggle to survive. It is as if the whole world is a kind of an obstruction. How often children feel that they are not free, that parents are constantly saying, don't do this, don't do that. The whole world comes as a kind of an opposition. And every child strives to oppose it so that the controls go away and one feels free. It's also a striving to be free from controls, from obstructions. And you want to be free because you want to be what you are. So there is a struggle for survival, to be. So that you remain what you are or you become more and more. Now this is the discovery of Darwin. But it doesn't explain why there should be this striving. Who is striving? That question Darwin doesn't answer. There is simply a striving. That is why Sri Aurobindo, who accepts the theory of evolution, he goes into the depth of evolution, the whole process. And then discovers that behind all the striving there is consciousness. And this consciousness, which has become veiled, is sought to be broken. The consciousness which is veiled is constantly being striven against, so that the veils can break. Until the full consciousness becomes manifest. But there are stages, it's not as it were at one go. The consciousness which is in us is so deep. As Sri Aurobindo says, it is not 1 inch deep. If it is only 1 inch deep, you can cross the 1 inch very easily. The consciousness, even in the human being, is very, very deeply involved or veiled. It's a huge veil behind which our consciousness is resting behind as if we are in sleep. You need to make a tremendous effort to break the veil and then bring it out. So now the argument becomes very easy and simple. All right.
Here there is, in the beginning of this last sutra, he says, in that case, the unconquerable impulse of man. Here it is not, it seems to be, but it is a statement.
Which has already proved in the beginning.
That it is unconquerable?
Yeah, that is already has from in the very first sentence, first paragraph. There is nothing which is taken for granted by Sri Aurobindo in the whole life divine. Therefore Sri Aurobindo says in the very beginning, it returns after every period of skepticism. Therefore unconquerable. Even when you try to banish it, after every exile Sri Aurobindo says it returns. Therefore unconquerable. In the very first paragraph he has shown it. Right?